നമുക്ക് പ്രാർത്ഥിക്കാം. സ്നേഹവാനായ ദൈവമേ, സ്വർഗീയ പിതാവേ, ഈ അനുഗ്രഹമേറിയ പ്രഭാതത്തിൽ അവിടുത്തെ മക്കളായിരിക്കും ഞങ്ങൾ. ഒരിക്കൽ കൂടി അവിടുത്തെ പാദപീഠത്തോട് ചേർന്നിരിക്കട്ടെ. ശ്രേഷ്ഠ ഗുരുവായ യേശുവിൽ നിന്ന് കേൾക്കുവാൻ പഠിക്കുവാൻ ഈ പ്രഭാതത്തിലും അവിടുന്ന് ഞങ്ങളെ സഹായിക്കണമേ. കർത്താവേ, അവിടുത്തെ വചനം ഞങ്ങളുടെ കാലുകൾക്ക് ദീപവും പാതയ്ക്ക് പ്രകാശവുമാകുന്നുവല്ലോ. ആ വചനത്താൽ ഞങ്ങളെ ഇന്ന് നിറയ്ക്കുകയും ചെയ്യണമെന്ന് പ്രാർത്ഥിക്കുന്നു. ഞങ്ങളുടെ വ്യക്തിപരമായി അവിടുന്ന് സംസാരിക്കണമേ. അവിടുത്തെ ശബ്ദം കേൾക്കുവാൻ ഞങ്ങളുടെ കാതുകളെ അവിടുന്ന് സജ്ജമാക്കണമെന്ന് പ്രാർത്ഥിക്കുന്നു. കേവലം കേൾക്കാരായി തീരാതെ അവിടുത്തെ വചനം ഞങ്ങളുടെ ഹൃദയങ്ങളോട് എന്താണ് ആവശ്യപ്പെടുന്നത് അതിനെ ജീവിതത്തിൽ ഏറ്റെടുക്കുവാൻ പരിശുദ്ധാത്മാവിൻ്റെ കൃപയാ ഞങ്ങളെ അഭിഷേകം ചെയ്യണമേ. ബലഹീനടിയെയും കർത്താവ് അനുഗ്രഹിക്കണമേ. യേശുവിൻ്റെ നാമത്തിൽ തന്നെ ആമേൻ. ലാക്കിയിരിക്കുക. വീണ്ടും വരുന്നവനായ കർത്താവിൻ്റെ നിസ്തുല്യ നാമത്തിൽ എല്ലാവർക്കും എൻ്റെ സ്നേഹവന്ദനം. അനുഗ്രഹിക്കപ്പെട്ട ഈ പ്രഭാതം നമുക്ക് ഒരുമിച്ച് ദൈവത്തെ ആരാധിക്കുവാൻ വീണ്ടും ദൈവം നൽകിയ അവസരത്തിനായി ഞാൻ ദൈവത്തിന് സ്തോത്രം ചെയ്യുന്നു. പ്രത്യേകിച്ച് ഒരു നോമ്പ് കാലഘട്ടത്തിലേക്ക് ക്രൈസ്തവ സഭ പ്രവേശിക്കാൻ ഒരുങ്ങുന്ന ഒരാഴ്ചയിലാണ് നാം ആയിരിക്കുന്നത്. നോമ്പ് എപ്പോഴും ആത്മതപനത്തിൻ്റെയും ആത്മവിശുദ്ധിയുടെയും പ്രാർത്ഥനയുടെയും ദിനങ്ങളാകുന്നുവല്ലോ. അപ്രകാരം നമ്മുടെ നോമ്പായി തീരട്ടെ എന്ന് ഞാൻ ഈ സമയത്ത് പ്രാർത്ഥിക്കുന്നു. നമ്മുടെ ഇന്നത്തെ വചനധ്യാനത്തിനായി നാം ഇന്ന് സുവിശേഷ വേദഭാഗമായി വായിച്ച വേദഭാഗം ദ ഗോസ്പൽ അക്കോർഡിംഗ് ടു സെയിൻറ്റ് ജോൺ ചാപ്റ്റർ 2:1-11, യോഹന്നാൻ സുവിശേഷം 2:1 മുതൽ 11 വരെയുള്ള വാക്യങ്ങൾ. ഇസ് വൺ ഓഫ് ദ ഫെമിലിയർ പാസേജസ് ഇൻ ദ ബൈബിൾ വി ഓഫൻ കം അക്രോസ്. ആൻഡ് ലിസൺ ഫ്രം അവർ സൺഡേ സ്കൂൾ ഡേയ്സ്. Because the reason is that the Christ's first miracle is recorded in the scripture, the chapter, this chapter. And usually this scripture portion is labeled as a wedding day Bible reading portion. Often we listen from this scripture during the wedding days, wedding ceremonies. Of course, it has a relevance with the marriage. At the same time, we can expound the passage from three different views, three different dimensions. First, its typical significance, and second, its prophetic application, and third, its practical teaching. So today, I would like to look into this scripture portion from the practical teaching point of view. When we do that, we should not interpret this scripture portion as a mere incident happened at a wedding house somewhere in Galilee. Rather, here the wedding house represents then Israel and the Judaism. So we need to look from that angle. The wedding house represents the Israel and the entire Judaism. Okay, coming back to the text. Here, a marriage feast is presented to our view. And the central thing is that here, the wine ran out. അവർക്ക് വീഞ്ഞില്ല എന്ന് പറഞ്ഞു. ദ വൈൻ റാൻ ഔട്ട്, ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് എ സെൻട്രൽ തീം. വെൻ വി സ്റ്റഡി ദ സ്ക്രിപ്ചർ, ദ വൈൻ ഇറ്റ്സ് എൻ എംബ്ലം ഓർ ഇറ്റ്സ് എ എംബ്ലം ഓഫ് ജോയ്. സാം 104:15 ദേർ വി റീഡ്, വൈൻ ദാറ്റ് ഗ്ലാഡൻസ് ഹ്യൂമൻ hearts. In Judges 9:13, there we read, "But the wine answered, 'Should I give up my wine, which cheers both gods and humans, to hold the way over the trees?'" So wine is represented as a symbol of joy in the scripture. So here they say the wine ran out. That simply means they ran out of their joy. So Judaism still existed ജീസസ് ടൈം ആൻഡ് മോസ്റ്റ് ഓഫ് ദി ജൂസ് ദേ ആർ ഒബ്സർവിംഗ് ജുഡായിസം ആസ് ദേർ പ്രാക്ടീസിംഗ് ജുഡായിസം ആസ് ദേർ റിലീജിയൻ ആൻഡ് ഇറ്റ് വാസ് എക്സിസ്റ്റിംഗ് ആസ് എ റിലീജിയസ് സിസ്റ്റം ബട്ട് ദ സെയിം ടൈം ജുഡായിസം failed to give comfort to the people. It just remained as, you know, a nominal religion. It lost its life. And the people had no real joy in their life professing or practicing the religious practices in Judaism. So they were run out of the joy. And reading further, then we see that Jesus' mother was there. Yeshuvinte amme avade undayirunnu. And she is not here called by her personal name Mary. Rather says Jesus' mother was there. Why? Because in this scripture portion, when we study this scripture portion, then we see that here the role of Mary is almost similar to the role of John the Baptist in the first chapter. The role of John the Baptist was just to lead people to Messiah. And he himself said, I am not the Messiah. I am just the voice. And my duty is to lead people to Messiah or help people to see the Messiah. The same way, here, the role of Mary or role of Jesus' mother was to lead the people to Jesus. That's why she's not mentioned here by her personal name. Anyway, she said to Jesus, they have no wine. And Mary was trying to use her parental authority when she listened from the people that they have no wine. She directly went to Jesus and saying that they have no wine, using the parental authority to insist Jesus to what he ought to do in these circumstances. And in verse 4, Jesus' response was something very different. യേശു അവളോട് സ്ത്രീയെ എനിക്കും നിനക്കും തമ്മിൽ എന്ത്? ദാറ്റ് വാസ് ജീസസ് റെസ്പോൺസ്. വുമൻ, വാട്ട് കൺസേൺ ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് യു ആൻഡ് ടു മീ? എ സ്ട്രേഞ്ച് റെസ്പോൺസ് വെൻ ഷീ സെഡ് ദേ ഹാവ് നോ വൈൻ. ഹീ സെയിങ് വുമൻ, വാട്ട് കൺസേൺ ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് ടു യു ആൻഡ് ടു മീ? ഇൻ ഒറിജിനൽ ഗ്രീക്ക് translation, we read something like that, what to me and you? Now people often doubt and wonder why Jesus here addressed his mother as woman instead of saying mother. And the biblical scholars, they say that at that time this word would not sound harsh or rough, because it was a designation commonly used for addressing females of all classes and relationship. Sometimes it employed with a great reverence and affection. And by calling Mary as woman, here Christ showed that his time of subjection to Joseph and Mary was over. Till that day, he was an obedient child, obedient son of Joseph and Mary. But here, in Galilee, at the wedding house, Christ showed that his time of subjection was over. And now, his public ministry had now commenced. And Mary has no authority to dictate to him. That is something wonderful. So addressing her as mother would have called attention to human relationship. But here, Jesus calling her woman shows that it was not their son Jesus. Rather, God was speaking to her. The whole scripture, there are only two times Christ addressed his mother as woman. The first one here in Galilee at the wedding house. The second one, it was at the time of his crucifixion on the cross. Woman, here is your son. Only two times, and both are recorded in John's gospel. And at each time, it was to emphasize his deity, Jesus as the sovereign God. And also using the word woman, this denotes Christ's omniscience and his prophetic insight, prophetic foresight, that in the centuries follow, the men would entitle her as the mother of God and ascribe divine honors equal to God, and she may be worshipped. So by calling woman, Jesus reminds us that Mary was only a woman. Of course, she was a blessed woman, as Luke says in Luke chapter 1:28. Mary is a blessed woman, but at the same time, she was not blessed over woman. She was a blessed woman, but not blessed above woman. And again Jesus says, my hour has not yet come. എൻ്റെ നാഴിക ഇതുവരെ വന്നില്ല. In John's gospel there are 7 references are made regarding the hour of Jesus. 7 references. The first one that we read here in John's chapter 2 verse 4, here Jesus says, my hour has not yet come. And the second one in chapter 7 verse 30, there we read, they were tried to arrest him, but no one laid hands on him, because his hour has not yet come. Again in chapter 8:20, there we read, he spoke these words while he was teaching in the treasury of the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour has not yet come. In 12:23, again we read, Jesus answered them, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. In 12:27, now my soul is troubled, and what should I do, say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. In 16:32, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each one to his home, and you will leave me alone. In 17:1, after Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you. So there are 7 references talking about hour. And here Jesus says, my hour has not yet come. That simply means he was not to be ordained by man. He will seek only to follow the will of the Father in the time assigned to him. And no human has authority to command him to do anything. He will only seek the will of God. That's why he said, my hour has not yet come. It's a reminder for you and me. And all of us, it's a reminder that we must wait upon the Lord. We must wait upon the Lord to work in our lives in his time. We can't order or we can command God to work for us.
No, I have heard some people are sometimes praying, the Lord, you do it now, this hour. Father, I want to see that is happening now. Sometimes people used to pray like that. We have no authority to command God. Rather, we must wait upon the Lord for His time. That's why Jesus said, woman, my hour has not yet come. And Mary understood the rebuke. When Jesus said that, Mary really grasped the rebuke in that. And in verse 5, she says, avante amma sushrukkarodu ningal avan ningalodu endengilum kalpichal adu cheyvirennu paranju. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. So she recognized and accepted Lord's rebuke, and she recognized his right to act as he pleased and left the matter entirely to his hands. Avan ningalodu endengil kalpichal adu cheyvi. If you want to see our problems are solved, and if we want God to work in our lives, and if we want to see the difficult situations change, the only way is to commit our way unto the Lord and leave Him to supply our needs in His own time. That's very, very important. We need to wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord to work for His time. And Jesus said, fill the jars with water. And they filled them up to the brim. That's what Jesus said. He filled the jars with water. And Jesus remained idle. He was not doing anything. There was no visible exhibition of putting forth the divine power or enchanting any prayer or any magical formula, nothing. Even Jesus did not command the water to become wine. He was standing still. All what was visible, the men at work. A bunch of men, a bunch of obedient servants. They were filling up the stone jars. Of course, it was not an easy task, very difficult task, because the scripture says the one store jar contains 20 to 30 gallons. So 1 gallon is equal to 3.7 liters. So 6 stone jars, to fill 6 stone jars, they need to draw around more than 600 liters of water from the well. It's a tiresome job. And these, a bunch of obedient servants, without raising any questions, when Jesus asked them to fill the jars with water, they were working. All other people were watching. They see only a group of people. They're drawing water and filling these stone jars. And the spectators might have laughed at them, thinking, what foolishness they are doing, what these fellows are doing. They have run out of wine, not water. But here, these servants are filling the stone jars with water. What foolishness they are doing. So this morning, I just want to remind you something very, very important. Sometimes our act of faith may be viewed as foolishness for others. They may laugh at us. But don't give up. A couple of years back, I've come across a testimony of a poor village farmer who lived in a remote village in Rajasthan. A poor man, his only source of income was two buffaloes, two she buffaloes. The entire family, his wife and four children, they find their livelihood from the milk that they receive from these two she buffaloes. That was their only income source. He was living in a very remote village in Rajasthan. Somehow he came in contact with some Christian missionaries and they shared gospel with him. And gradually he accepted Lord Jesus as his personal savior and he was living as a Christian man. And every day morning he will untie his buffaloes, go to his field, feed them and he will work alongside, he will work in the field. Evening he will come back. In the morning they will milk the buffalo, sell in the near shop. And they get little money. With that, the family was living. And day by day, he became a very, you know, strong Christian, a good believer. And these Christian missionaries introduced to him a radio broadcast in the early morning, the gospel broadcast. And he was listening to that early morning, around 5 o'clock. Every day he used to get up, and he would listen to that radio broadcast. There were some evangelists there preaching the gospel. And one day, suddenly, one of his buffalo got sick. And it was almost near to death. And he tried all the country medicines they used in the village. And there is no veterinary doctor, no veterinary surgeon, because it's a very remote village. And the entire family was very sad, because it was only a source of their income, a buffalo and the milk. After a few days, they recognized that this buffalo won't survive anymore. And its stomach enlarged, and salivas were coming out of the mouth, and it was almost near to death. And on that morning, one day morning, and he was listening to the radio broadcast, the gospel preaching. That day, the evangelist who was preaching was talking about the miracles, the healing miracles in gospels. At the end of the broadcast, the evangelist said, "I am going to pray for you now. If you have any kind of physical issues, any sickness, you lay your hands on the part of the body where you feel difficulties. I am going to pray for you." And this man, this poor, illiterate village man, farmer, he took his radio and ran out to his little hut, and he went to the cattle shed where the buffalo was lying, and he placed the radio on the head, over the head of the buffalo, and began to pray along with the evangelist. He was praying over the radio. After the prayer finished, I'm not telling you an exaggerated story. It was really recorded and written and published. After the prayer finished, suddenly this buffalo got up. And it was completely healed. And this man, the entire family was rejoicing. And they were waiting for the missionaries to come in the following week. And they shared the testimony. No, can we believe that? Placing a radio transistor upon the head of the buffalo and praying for the healing of a buffalo. It was done by a poor village farmer. That was his faith. So sometimes our act of faith may be viewed as foolishness for others. But this scripture portion reminds us that believe, obey, and wait. First you believe, then you obey and wait for the Lord. Then the miracle follows. also, like those obedient servants in this parable. Without raising any question, they were blindly obeying the Lord's commandment, Lord's instruction, to filling up the stone jars. God is looking for individuals who are willing to partner with Him in bringing miracles and joy in the life of others. God needs people to work with Him to bring miracles in others' life. Are you willing? Are you willing to partner with God to bring miracles and joy in others' life? Just like those bunch of obedient servants. When they were asked to fill the store jars, they started working. So are you willing to be an obedient servant, to partner with God, to bring joy in others' life? Amen. May God bless us.